T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
It's great to have you along. Again, thanks so much to Brian Windhorst for joining us. Very interesting conversation about how the NBA is wrapping up its regular season. Our conversation turned to the Olympics in Japan. And what an unwelcome house guest that's pretty much become. When it comes to NBA players dealing with COVID, you'd like to think that the worst of it all is behind us. And then you get to the Golden State Warriors pregame press conference last night to find out that COVID has come knocking on the door, not on a player who has just decided, you know, they're not into vaccines, so they're not going to do that. No, Damian Lee says that he has tested positive for COVID-19, and that happened after he was vaccinated. Here he is from last night, Warriors' Damian Lee.
Basically, long story short, I did test positive for COVID about 2 weeks ago. I did get the vaccine the middle, end of March. And, I mean, essentially, this was just a rare breakthrough case. After doing the research, it's been about 6,000 people that have tested positive with breakthrough cases out of the over 80 million people that have been fully vaccinated. And right now, there's no timeline in the immediate future for me, you know, coming back and playing. I mean, obviously, protocols and hurdles that I have to clear from, you know, the medical side, but then as well, you know, after that, and then it's just a matter of getting back into basketball shape.
So nothing is ever easy for the Golden State Warriors when it comes to player availability, including vaccinated players coming down with COVID. Now, Ray, nobody ever said that the vaccine was an impervious force field that would prevent you from getting COVID. The whole point of the vaccine is, should you then get COVID, you don't need to be hospitalized. You don't need to be put on oxygen. You don't need to have 24-hour around-the-clock medical care or anything like that. It's supposed to make the intrusion of COVID a much less dangerous thing for a person to go through. Before you weigh in on this, he also talked about the symptoms that he's experienced since coming down with COVID. And here's Damian Lee again.
I had symptoms for about 8 days. And I had headache, chills, sneezing, congestion, soreness, body aches. Felt like I was hit by a car, like hit by two cars at once. Every step I took, it hurt. There was pain. There was soreness. Felt like there was a weight on my chest for a couple of days. Like it was just hard to breathe. Loss of appetite. And then even still, you know, I don't fully have my appetite all the way back. Even random headaches like brain fog, where I'll start a conversation and be in on the conversation. Then like 5 minutes in, I'd either just lose track of what I was talking about or just don't want to talk anymore.
You know, I got a buddy of mine, Ray, who I was hanging out with not too long ago. And he said that, you know, he got it. He did get COVID, and he was in the middle of a phone call with his boss, basically explaining how he had to bow out of a lot of important meetings. And he was having an important conversation. And halfway through that conversation, just basically had to say, I need to stop talking now. I'm not understanding what you're saying. I'm really not understanding what I'm saying anymore. And there is an element of brain fog. It sounds like his symptoms were none too fun, but again, none so serious that he had to be hospitalized. So the overarching message at all times is get vaccinated. Vaccines work. However, nothing's perfect.
Well, it's not that it's not perfect. I mean, this is it's a percentage play. But him getting it and having all the symptoms of full-blown COVID, I mean, you don't get hospitalized, but, you know, I know people who had it and it didn't go away for 3 months. They couldn't get their sense of smell back. They couldn't get their sense of taste back. It literally is a disease for which there is no foolproof answer yet, because the disease, frankly, is, what, 18 months old in practical reality? And there have been mutations since. The mutation that is in India is different than any of the others. The Brazilian strain that hit British Columbia was, you know, is still running wild. We're not out of the COVID woods yet. We're not close. And for anybody who wants to say, well, then that proves the vaccine doesn't work. No, it proves that what you're trying to do is, you know, fill an inside straight. That's what you're trying to do when you don't take the vaccine. Well, you know what happens to people who try to fill an inside straight? They go bust.
Yeah, you lose a lot of hands of poker.
Yeah, I mean, how much of a chance do you want to take here? But Damian Lee did a huge service to people, though, by not starting to complain about how the vaccine isn't what it's cut out to be. He acknowledged and accepted the fact that he was a rare case and didn't say, well, I probably shouldn't have taken the vaccine. His message was, even if you take it, there's a chance this gets through. It's a rare chance, and percentages would say that it happens rarely, but it's still a chance. So even after you've had the vaccine, pretend like you haven't. Wear the mask, socially distance, do all the stuff you did before, and there will be people who fall through the cracks, but they're just unlucky people who did the right thing and still got punished. That's all that is.
And Ray, Damian Lee acknowledged that his symptoms and what he experienced could have been a lot worse if he didn't get the vaccine.
Well, to be fair, and I don't want to be Johnny Doctor here, but he doesn't know how much worse they could have been. All he knows what he got. And those symptoms are in line with most people who got COVID and got it really. I mean, brain fog is not normal. You know, having trouble breathing is not normal. Not having your sense of taste and smell is not normal. So with all due respect to Damian Lee, he only knows what happened to him. He can't be sure of what would have happened otherwise. But what he had was bad enough.
Yeah. Here's two things we do know. And you want to say causation, not provable. Correlation, I think it's absolutely provable. The city of San Francisco is now America's largest, most vaccinated city. And from day one, I think we've been America's most ready to put on a mask city as well. And we have the sharpest declining COVID rates of any city, I believe, in the world. So get vaccinated. Wear a mask. Don't be an Aubrey Huff level dickhead. And we should be okay.
What's the metric for that? What's the over-under on that?
If you can pull a thong out from your pants at any point in time, you've taken it too far. That's your metric.
Okay, but you're going to have to give me the causation and correlation between that and COVID.
I really can't. I really can't. The important part is not Aubrey Huff.
Yeah.
The important part is don't be like him. Go ahead, be conscientious, take care of yourself, take care of others, be smart.
Yeah, no more than he does. That's not a hard standard to beat.
It really isn't. So, Steve Kerr joins us live at 5 o'clock. We'll talk a little bit more about the situation that he's got now with Damian Lee. He brought up the situation last night and everything that Damian's been through. Here is Steve Kerr.
Yeah, I mean, it's shocking. I talked to him about it, and, you know, somebody who, you know, had the vaccine and then gets COVID and gets the symptoms, it's so rare. I think he said 6,000 out of 80 million. So kind of a needle in the haystack. But I think it's great that he's being so forthright. I think people need to know what's happening. And it's great for him to just come out and tell everybody his story. Even if you have had the vaccine, good to still wear a mask and still be as safe as possible as we continue to try to get through this. And as for Damian himself, I have so much respect for him. He's such a pro. He's such a good person, great teammate. And I feel for him because he's had an excellent season. And obviously, this is really, you know, putting him in a tough spot. He hasn't been able to work out at all. So we'll see what happens, you know, basketball wise. But the main thing is he's healthy and feeling better, and we're obviously relieved about that.
So we got an awful lot of stuff to still get into today. Some of the things we've been able to scrape or touch on throughout the week, but a few of these other items we really haven't had a chance to get to at all. We're going to get into a few of those things coming up before our friend Dave Fleming stops on by at 4 o'clock to talk a little baseball here on 95.7 The Game. So I hope you plan on sticking around for all of it. Again, Fleming at 4, Steve Kerr live at 5. Here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by, it's just us, baby, Damon Ratto and Kolsky, 95.7 The Game.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
You know, sometimes in sports, you gotta keep doing things the way you used to do. Not just for tradition's sake, but it might be the best way to go about doing it. And sometimes you got to change things, even though it's always been the way you used to do it, because we've learned some lessons over the last year that we'd be a little silly to not pay any attention to. I don't know about you, but working from home is something that I did more of this year than any other year of my life. Ray and I back in the studio this week for the first time in over a calendar year, and it's great, but I tell you, is it absolutely necessary? We both need to be, all three of us, when Matt comes back, need to be in the studio at all times. I mean, I think we just proved conclusively the answer is no. Might it make the show better? Might it make everything move a little smoother? But the truth is, we pulled off a four-hour daily radio show under the oddest of circumstances, and most people were none too, you know, wise that we were doing it from home, because it sounded good. And if you can put up the front to make things look normal, why not do that?
The only thing I noticed is that I'm a lot further away from my liquor cabinet.
You definitely are.
And if Odyssey cares about the quality of the show, it will put a mini fridge in here that can be stocked with the things I want.
They didn't just give us a new coffee machine, right?
Wouldn't that be great if we could get a mini bar?
Hell yes. We want a mini bar. Nahidian, get your ass in here. We've got to talk business.
I want a mini bar with real size bottles. That's what this show definitely needs. It's a year where I'm sure your significant other, if you have one of those, has learned.
Well, we're allowing her deniability, but one in fact does exist. Just out of transparency. She would just like that not to be put out.
Yeah. No, look, we have all learned that you can go about a work day and still have yourself a very productive work day without actually commuting to work, working there, and then driving back home at the end of the day. And the world is different. How many places accept that difference and acknowledge it as we move forward? How many people are going to try to cram the way things used to be back down our throats? So get to sports, Damon. Okay, here we go.
One of the things that you can do, basically, whether you're at home or not, is have conversations with yourself.
Look at it this way. You know how often I used to do radio without co-hosts? I would spend 4 hours talking to myself, Ray. I would ask myself questions and answer them over and over and over and over and over again. So that's probably why they brought you guys in here, so I don't sound so crazy talking to myself. Anyway,
that fills in so many personality holes for me.
I now fully
understand that the voices in your head are collateral damage.
Yeah. No, this is, look, we can either put our collateral damage to work for us or it can cripple us. I decided to put it to work. So,
I mean, Susan Hayward did it better, but do the best you can.
Thank you very, very much. So today, Tom Brady basically was on a conference call with the entire NFL Players Association. The Players Association right now is basically having a little bit of a standoff with teams saying, hey, dude, training camp, come on. off-season workouts, voluntary, involuntary. What do we need to show up here and do this for? As a matter of fact, God, Ray, in Denver, they've even got a situation where one of their tackles who wanted to come in and work out at the facility was told you can't come in and work out at the facility. So he went to work out at home, tore his ACL, and now they want to deny him his, you know, his contract because it is a non-football injury. Because it didn't happen in their facility. Any injury to a football player, even if it happened preparing for a football game, if it happens outside of the NFL facility, can be looked at as a non-football injury, which is sometimes enough to nullify a contract. But we're not talking about that. But that's just the situation that is kind of out there right now. Tom Brady basically said today, what the hell do we need to come back in the middle of an offseason and have near 80 to 90% live reps out there killing each other in training camp in the name of, because we're football players, we're always competing, when we just had an offseason where that wasn't allowed and it worked out great. Well, certainly for us, we won the Super Bowl. Brady said, and I quote, there's no effing pro baseball player that's being asked to throw 95 miles an hour in mid-December. And you know what? He's got a little bit of a point.
He's got a lot of a point. I mean, one of the reasons why OTAs are so scummy is because they've cast them as voluntary, but then hold your absence against you. I mean, there were coaches this year talking about that. Well, Kevin Colbert, the general manager of the Steelers, said, I don't think we would consider drafting a guy who opted out last year.
Right.
I mean, that's the sort of, you know, double talk and triple talk that NFL executives and coaches love to do. Oh, yeah, we fully support your, you know, your negotiated right to not have to show up to some workouts that are designated voluntary, but we will hold it against you.
Right. We'll either say we won't and will, or, you know, we'll present that we're about to and then really won't. It's just, it's an empty threat.
Yeah, and, well, it's not just, but it's not an empty threat because they can figure out ways, like in a close position battle, just go, eh, he didn't show up for OTAs. Let's get rid of him. I mean, it's just, voluntary means voluntary. And as for the guy who went to who plays for Denver, the fact that they're not going to pay for that. I mean, if I'm a free agent, they're off the list. I mean, you
hasn't
take
been
care of your
hasn't
players.
Hasn't been settled, Ray. Hasn't been settled officially. Just we want to get it right.
Okay. The point is, the Broncos have to back down from that. You can't come in the building, but if you show up out of shape, we will punish you for it. So he's trying to get in shape. Something unfortunate happens, and they want to walk on the guy. That's just scummy. It's just scummy. And you know, you can frame it any way you want. He was trying to fulfill as best he could with their knowledge the things they wanted him to do so that when he shows up for mandatory workouts, he's in shape. And they said, nah, that's not good enough.
Right.
We're going to find a way not to pay you. We're going to find a way not to cover this injury. You know, that blows.
He wasn't working out because he wanted to look better with his shirt off at the pool. He was working out because it's going to make him a better football player, which he's going to come and do for you. That is something that is, yeah, just it feels like whose side are you on, football team? Football players or not? I mean, unless you really think that the guy hurt himself doing something other than what he said, Jeff Kent washing his truck, if you want to, you know, say there was something like that going on. But even then, it's just this whole, look, 2020 is the year where proximity ceased to matter. End of story. You know, all good things come to those on premises is something I used to tell people all the time, especially interns at radio stations. You know, I don't know who the next fill-in host is going to be the next time a host, you know, doesn't show up. But if something were to happen, the guy standing in the room, the gal standing in the room, probably has a better chance of getting that opportunity because they're on premises than if they were not. That is the importance kind of internships and what we talk about, just getting in the room. That's it's important to do that. Yet at the same time, with everything that we just learned in the last year, being here today for this meeting is no longer an actual physical requirement and shouldn't be looked at as such. And again, it's a different freaking world than it used to be. And so we have to start changing a little bit. And Ray, in the name of that change, no matter how much things change, some things stay the same. We in sports will give teams an awful wide berth to do some pretty detestable things. We'll give players a wide berth to do some detestable things. But we all kind of draw the line at cheating. And that brings us to the Houston Astros, who obviously had a rough series in the Bronx. They got booed out of the city of New York by Yankees fans. Their first game in the Bronx since the whole scandal happened after their World Series. They are worthy, the Houston Astros, Ray, of our hatred and our ire. They asked for it. They tried to claim themselves as victims. They got to hold on to the spoils of their cheating. And then they got the calm of empty stadiums to greet them in the year where they would have been booed. Well, guess what? Baseball fans got long memories, and all of those boos were saved for the Houston Astros, who apparently have contacted and complained to Major League Baseball about the grief that they're receiving this year, not just at Yankee Stadium, but wherever they show up to on the road. Would you like to play a sad, slow violin for the hurt feelings of the Houston Astros, Ray?
If they're complaining about booing, the hell with them. You know, sorry, the bill came, time to pay. If they're complaining about stuff being thrown at players, that's another thing. Because, you know, I mean, the trash can incident in Los Angeles was hilarious and all that. But, you know, if it's projectiles, and in New York, that's anything up to and including a car battery or even in some cases an infant, that's a different deal. I mean, there's a clear line you can make. Call a guy anything, but don't throw anything at him.
No, you're not allowed to cross that chalk line in any way, theoretically, with an object, physically. You're not allowed. But boo them, ridicule them, calling them detestable things, that's all in play. That is all in play. Is this the sad song for the poor Houston Astros? Aw, the poor Astros. They got to cheat their way to a World Series and then keep the trophy. But they have been called a name, and a guy showed up dressed as Oscar the Grouch at Yankee Stadium, so their feelings are hurt now. Shut up. Shut up. Didn't Alex Cintron try to throw a punch at Ramon Laureano last year, too? I mean, this is just a group of unlikable SOBs. As talented as they might be, who could possibly root for the Astros unless you're from Houston? Ever again. They suck.
Well, not all of them. Dusty Baker gets a pass for me because he wasn't there for any of it.
But you know what? He took the cash to do the song and dance. So now he's on the dance floor while I'm saying, hey, this dancing sucks.
Oh, you can yell at him to shut up, but I'm not blaming him for any of this. He just happened to be the guy who took the job after the damage was done. It's like basically after the last bank manager embezzled the hell out of the place, the guy who replaced him is not responsible for that.
Look, it's like the booing of Joe Lacob. Joe hadn't done anything to deserve that booing, but he represented an entity that was worthy of booing, that was Warriors ownership. Dusty Baker cashes every single check the Houston Astros pay him, and he is being paid to be booed this year too. So,
I'm not saying that he's immune. I'm just saying that when you want to list the people for the Astros that you want to detest,
right? He's the least detestable.
Yeah, you get to him last.
I would get to Dusty last.
Let's put it this way.
I get to Jose Altuve first, by the way.
Let's put it this way. I want to hear people booing A.J. Hinch, even though he was more victim than perpetrator as well. He was the manager of that team. Is anybody booing him?
Nope.
See, that raises a question for me. You know, are you just booing the laundry now? I hold fans to a higher standard. Figure out who you're booing and then boo them. And if you don't have a reason for booing them, shut up.
So there's your little slice of baseball story that we wanted to slip into today. I didn't get the chance to talk about what a bunch of whining crybabies the Houston Astros apparently are today.
That's the thing is, you know, if you want to play the game then the only thing you can do is hold up the ring. And if that makes people angrier, well, then you got to play the villain.
That's the thing. You guys, you put yourself in position to wear the black hat. Don't tell me now it doesn't fit. It fits. And you guys wear it very, very well. So screw all of you.
7 3/8
The least. Yeah, thank you very much. That is the official hat size. Albert Pujols, by the way, doesn't need that official hat size anymore. He can now wear a snapback. If his days playing Major League Baseball really are behind him, Ray, and I don't know if we know that yet, but his options appear to be wildly limited should any present themselves to him. Today is the day where his unceremonious DFAing really kind of hit everyone's radar. It happened early yesterday. Everyone kind of went back and wrote their goodbye to Albert Pujols column, yourself included, Ray. I know that you wrote something for The Defector about Pujols. What did you learn as you wrote your article that we didn't really get to yesterday? Because the thing that I learned is that as much sympathy as I wanted to extend towards Albert Pujols, he basically told the Angels, you're going to have to cut me because I'm about to make your lives difficult. Albert Pujols was basically approached by the team saying, look, we have not only Shohei Ohtani to plop down at first base or in the position of DH, but we have another guy that we're also grooming who's putting together more better daily at-bats than you are. Albert, we are not going to designate you for assignment, but we would like you to move to the bench. We'd like you to take a diminished role on this team. We cool? We kosher? And Pujols said, no, I will not be accepting that. And so he basically said, "It cut me or I will be a malcontent." And they did it.
Well, what he's saying is, I want to play somewhere. And, okay, you guys are committed to Ohtani and Jared Walsh, fine. But I don't want to just sit and watch. I'm okay with that. I mean, because if he's not going to play, having served 10 years for them, I think he's earned the right to say, let me go. I don't want to hang around here and be a cheerleader. You know, I don't know if he said, I'm just going to be a malcontent. I suspect what he said was, well, I'm going to see if there's another place that will let me play games. I don't have a problem with that. The only way I would have a problem is if they said, no, we're going to have you stay and you are going to watch, because now you're just enforcing something that you don't need to enforce. If you want to move on from the guy, move on from the guy. Give him the DFA and say, best of luck to you. You know, and I haven't heard that he said, well, you know, I order you to play me. You know, he just doesn't want to sit and watch every day. So fine. Now you can sit at home.
I don't think they're going to say you're going to sit and watch every day. But
he's going to look, let's be honest here. Jared Walsh is an up and coming player on an interesting team that nobody seems to have glommed onto yet. And Shohei Ohtani is going to be the DH the rest of the time. You know, so where's the spot for Pujols?
No,
one day a week?
Yeah, no,
maybe.
Look, it's a diminished role. There's no doubt about it. You're a right-handed bat off the bench, and we're not going to put you in the field very much. And obviously, it's harder to be a DH today on this roster than it was before Ohtani showed up. So, yeah, look, it's Albert Pujols, though, cannot make the argument that he is who he used to be. I mean, that's the point. Like, at some point, you need to acknowledge that you're not standing in the same place you used to. And he seems to be unwilling to acknowledge that, Ray.
Well, the only thing he's willing to acknowledge is that I want to go someplace where I can play baseball. I mean, and for me, that's fine. You know, it would be worse if he stayed and became that malcontent.
If there were 29 other clubs. That's what we got, 30 baseball teams, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Today,
29 other clubs say, we have no room for you, Albert Pujols. Are the Angels wrong or right?
No, they get to do with their roster what they want to do. And they didn't go out of their way to embarrass him. All they said is, there's not going to be any room for you here.
Right. They didn't go out of their way to embarrass him.
That's a personnel call that has nothing to do with anything other than baseball. And he has the right to say, okay, if you're not going to pay me, let me go. Let me see if I can find something else. And if no other team signs him, then he's retired.
Yeah, and I mean, there's going to be no, yeah, he's not going to get the rocking chair when he comes into your town for the last time. There's no goodbye tour at all. I don't know if there were ever any emotions for Pujols really down in Southern California that merited that in the first place. But I'll tell you right now, Albert Pujols today could just, as a fan, attend a game at Busch Stadium in St. Louis and get the longest standing ovation of the summer.
Yeah, I mean, even though some people were bent when he left, he put in 11 championship-level years for them.
Three MVPs?
Yeah, I mean, if he never plays a day in Anaheim and his career ends in 11 years, he's still a first-ballot Hall of Famer, mm-hmm. and he is still the toast of St. Louis, which is why I think they'll do that dodgy sort of one-day contract. And if he wants to accept it, fine. You know, he may be too proud to do that. And if so, good for him. Because I think those things are bogus. But if he would like to have one more day of applause and the Cardinals are willing to do it, that's fine too. You know, I don't pronounce him guilty for wanting to play baseball. You know, if he can't play baseball anymore, well, you know, that happens to everybody. You know, I'm sure Willie Mays would have liked to have played a couple extra years, but when he was done, he was done.
It ends. It always ends, and it usually ends poorly, or it wouldn't end at all. That's kind of the way sports work.
Yeah, I mean, we'd still be watching the cadaver of Walter Johnson pitching in Washington.
Good times. Good times if you can find them. We've got Dave Fleming joining us at 4 o'clock today. We're going to be talking plenty of Giants baseball with him. They start a five-game homestand today at Oracle Park, 24 Willie Mays Plaza. We'll see if Dave got a slice of the Willie Mays birthday cake at any point in time. Obviously, yesterday was Willie's 90th. We'll get a favorite Willie Mays story out of Dave Fleming, who I know is usually the property of the morning show, but today he drew a short straw, which means he gets to talk to Ray and I coming up at 4 o'clock. Steve Kerr joins us live at 5. We're looking forward to saying hello to him as well. It is still a day of significant happenings in NBA history. We got to get to that before it's all said and done. And Ray, apparently Aaron Rodgers has officially told the Green Bay Packers that he wants out. Now, if they came back and said, we have a 3-year extension for you, I don't know how quickly he would change his mind about wanting back in. But today the story is that he has officially told the Green Bay Packers he wants out. And I think that if we take that at face value and say that there's truth to it, we can say we've never really seen a league MVP, a reigning MVP at the position of quarterback, demand his way out of a city. If you got an instance for me, please tell me all about it. I don't think I've seen that before. And it feels like we really got, more than anything else in Green Bay, a two-man-for-one-seat situation. This seems to be a war of attrition between Aaron Rodgers and Brian Gutekunst, their general manager, and the two of them seem to have very little love for the other. So we're going to come back. We're going to talk about that in just a second. And what would you do to make one more run at Aaron Rodgers if you were the 49ers, or do you think that ship has officially sailed? We're going to come on back. We're going to talk about that. We're going to say hello to Dave Fleming. We got Giants. We got Padres in town. By the way, the Rays are at the A's. We're going to get to that a little bit. Old man Rich Hill on the mound. Rich Hill taking the ball for the Rays today against Sean Manaea. Rich Hill with Albert Pujols's goodbye, I believe, becomes the oldest active major leaguer. So a grandpa, not our grandpa, not Alex Dickerson, who joined us for a great conversation yesterday, but the grandpa of all Major League Baseball will be pitching at the Coliseum tonight, Rich Hill against Sean Manaea. That's Rays and A's. We do have Padres and Giants, though, coming up, and Dave Fleming at 4 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. We are brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Steve Kerr, stops by live at 5 o'clock this afternoon. We're looking forward to saying hello to him. And in 12 minutes, we say hello to Dave Fleming, also known as David B. Fleming. He'll be joining us at 4 o'clock, talking a little baseball with him. Looking forward to all of that. It's good to have you around today. Want to say thanks very much to Kurt from Napa, who sent a very nice text along saying that 95.7 The Game got me through an awful lot this year, especially this show. I've been working nonstop in my car through the pandemic since it started, and you guys are the best. You've helped kept the semblance of normal. Well done to all of you. Well, thank you, Kurt, and well done to you, man. You're the one who's out there slugging it out with some sort of a outside-of-the-house outdoor sales gig or whatever you do for a living, but it's got to be harder to be out on the road now than ever before. So congratulations to you, man. You're the one who's got the hard part of it. We just get to sit around here and talk about sports and hang out in the toy department of life. This is the easy thing, Ray. We're doing the easy thing.
If he likes us so much, why doesn't he bring us liquor?
Great call. If he is a out of the bar liquor rep, we would love to see you here in the city.
He can find a BevMo. We're thirsty no matter who he is.
Broadway and Battery. Just leave the bottle of liquor by the mailbox. We'll send Nash out. We'll send Lucas out, and they'll
pick
it up.
Oh, like we trust them.
Good point. So, look, we have an awful lot of stuff still coming up today. We were just talking about Aaron Rodgers, who, again, I guess told the Packers today he'd officially like to move on from them. I don't know if they'd officially like to move on from him. Brian Gutekunst, the general manager in Aaron Rodgers, seemed to be at a place of no return, Ray. Mom and Dad are arguing, and apparently they want a divorce. If there really were to be a divorce, do you think the 49ers would take one more look or walk around Aaron Rodgers, or have they made with their draft pick of Trey Lance their future plans and they are not going to get out of this bed to get into bed with Aaron Rodgers?
Well, it's not a matter of making your plan, making your bed with Trey Lance. I think it's a matter of making your bed with your quarterback situation. Again, let's say John Lynch calls Brian Gutekunst again today and just said, hey, are you still sure you don't want to trade him? And Gutekunst is going to say no, because it's insane for him to say yes without knowing what the 49ers are willing to pay. And since the Packers would have wanted a ton of draft choices, that means they'd have to go a year before they even smell any of them. I think that ship has probably sailed, and I think it's probably sailed for a lot of teams. The thing that I would come back to is that the way out for both of them is for them to sit down and give him a non-team friendly contract, or at least offer it to him. I mean, because right now his salary is $14 million. I mean, there's other money, you know, that floats around there, but it doesn't sound like they're talking. It sounds like they're just issuing ultimatums. And if Brian Gutekunst is the problem, you know, the question becomes one for Mark Murphy, who is basically the president of the club. He would have to say, who do I want to fly my flag with? What can I afford in this town? And I don't know if it's Brian Gutekunst or Aaron Rodgers, because Murphy might be sick of him too. And Gutekunst might just be the middleman, because he obviously can't offer him a contract without Murphy knowing about it. So maybe this is not about the general manager nearly as much as it is about the guy who runs the team. And if that's it, then I don't know how they make it up. But the only way that I see that it's possible is for them to figure out that the common ground is a new deal. And if he doesn't want the new deal, then you know exactly what you've got.
I mean, I know who plays on Sunday, and it is not Brian Gutekunst. And I know who is the reigning MVP, and that is Aaron Rodgers. Have we ever seen a reigning MVP this dissatisfied with his situation and go this publicly, like, prying himself out of his own town? I mean, this is really odd, right?
I would have to look and see if Jim Brown was the MVP in 1965, because that was pretty acrimonious and it was pretty final, and he ended up acting in the dirty dozen.
Right. I mean, at least, I mean, here's the thing. When you got, what's her name? Pam Grier. When you got Pam Grier as one of your reasons to walk away, I think I get it.
I don't think it was Pam Grier, though. I think it was, he was sick of Art Modell.
There was that, but there was also some Pam Grier in there. There's no doubt.
Yeah, he was the MVP in 65. So, yeah, that would have been the one. Because he basically, you know, just said, I'm fed up with this. And Goodell, or not Goodell, I apologize, Raj. You didn't earn that one. And Art Modell said, look, you're an employee. And Jim Brown said, want to bet? And that was the end of that. And he was, with all due respect to Aaron Rodgers, a better player at his position than Rodgers was at his. So I'd say there's your comp.
Well, so that's a good comp, because when you're talking about all-timers, you're certainly bringing up one right there, and Aaron Rodgers considers himself an all-timer too.
And I think they're both right.
Yeah.
But
you're
telling me who's more vital to a franchise, you know, maybe now it's Rodgers, but back then, Jim Brown was without question the best quarterback in football. Or the best running back in football, the best player in football.
I mean, here's the deal. It's always going to be easier to replace a running back than a quarterback just based on the language that comes with the position. But clearly, you know, Jim Brown is one of those rare outliers that, you know, to this day, they still haven't replaced him.
Well, but back then, the running back was the most important player in football.
That's
why I say they're a comp. And you can, you know, anybody could take any side on whether Aaron Rodgers is a better player at his position than Jim Brown was at his. I believe it's Brown, but the point is still made. That's the last time this happened.
Right. And flipping through the entire mental Rolodex, you come across one thing that is slightly similar. That means it's rare indeed. Lucas, have you found another? You got another name for us?
Yeah, so there are only two players in NFL history who didn't return to that same team after they won the MVP. One was Jim Brown. That's in 1965. He won it in 1965, then retired, as Ray said. The other, Norm Van Brocklin, the Dutchman, retired after winning the MVP in 1960.
Right, but he walked away.
He basically said, I don't want to play anymore. Right. I'm done.
Both retired.
Norm? Yeah, he did retire, but it wasn't because he was having a spat with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right. Somebody says here, you know.
In fact, not to beat that point into the ground, he got an offer to coach the Minnesota Vikings. So that's what he wanted to do next. So his retirement was non-acrimonious.
Kevin Durant won two finals MVPs, and he was hell-bent on leaving the Warriors probably before the last season even started. Look, you're right. Now, a finals MVP and a regular season MVP are not the same thing. But look, in terms of extraordinary talent walking away from winning team and on the surface what appears to be good situation – yeah, there is some comparison there, no doubt about it. But just, it's very, very weird. It's very, very odd. And the Green Bay Packers, I mean, I think the Green Bay Packers are as dependent on Aaron Rodgers as any team in football is on any element of what they think they got for him going for them to make them a success. I mean, he's the alpha and the omega of their success. So, it'll be really interesting to see if that doesn't get repaired, and if it stays in disrepair, do the 49ers take one more walk around the car to see if they might be interested in kicking all four tires? It would feel a little bit like, well, you decided to zig and now you're going to zag again. There would be someone who would question it. But again, Aaron Rodgers is such an X marks the spot of talent that you'd have to give them all the reason in the world to why they would go ahead and explore that. I mean, it's just he is not like the others. And Ray, one more thing that makes this a little bit more real in my mind than it would be maybe otherwise is that Aaron Rodgers has proven beyond the shadow of a doubt with the poor relationship he has with some of his own family members that he can absolutely, like, cut ties, emotions, and bait and move on. I mean, that happens with family members. That happens with women that he's dating, high profile, less than high profile. Things change quickly for him, and he appears to be the kind of guy who can, easily remove any emotional tie he might have had to something or someone. Fair or not, I'm just saying, from where I'm sitting, it seems to be a lever that he can pull easier than others are able to pull on that lever. So another thing that the Packers, I think, need to be a little bit worried about. He is a walk away, goodbye, I'm done with you type of person.
Yeah, he will hold a grudge. And whether it's a legitimate grudge or not is not for me to say, because I don't know the particulars of any of them. But once he sets his mind, we've seen it before, and it looks like we're seeing it again. That said, if I'm the Packers, I'm going to exhaust everything I can possibly exhaust, if only to tell the fan base, we gave it our best. You might not be able to sell that to a lot of people, but you better have at least some evidence that you tried everything you could stomach. Because the only other thing that I can see that bothers him is the fact that he's not in the room when personnel decisions are made. And that is a step that I don't believe any player has gotten to make without retiring and becoming management.